and we'll see if we can get that together. Tonight, we're going to look at keep your heart. Keep your heart. Now, if I would have known that I was going to get off on a tangent of heart, I would have started with this particular teaching because it's really an important thing. So the heart, according to the Bible, is the center not only of spiritual activity, but it's the center of all the operations of the human life. It flows from the heart. The heart is the home of the personal life, and thus man is designated according to his heart. Man is designated according to his heart. In 1 Kings chapter 3, in verse 12, you read, "Behold, I have done according to thy words." And this is talking about an answer to Solomon's prayer. "I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before, neither after thee shall there arise like unto thee." So here Solomon is listed as having a wise heart. In Matthew 5:8, it says, "Blessed are the pure at heart, for they shall see God." So you have the heart being described as pure. In Psalm 11, verse 2, it says, "For lo, the wicked bend their bow and make ready their arrows upon the strings, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." So here you have the upright in heart. However, you have wise, you have pure, you have upright. These are positive characteristics of the heart. But in Exodus 4:21, Pharaoh is described as having a hardened heart. And actually, if you study that record out, that word hardened is used like a kabillion times talking about Pharaoh. In Leviticus 19:17, the heart is talked about being wicked. In Deuteronomy 15:9, the heart is described as madness of heart. I think that's goofy, crazy, that's me. Blindness of heart and astonishment of heart. Okay? So you have the heart, and then you have the heart described as having positive characteristics and traits, and then you have the heart described as having not so positive characteristics and traits. Now what I want to do is I want to show you the first occurrence of this Hebrew word, which is equaled by the Greek word cardia, in the scriptures for the word heart. Okay? First occurrence. Now you'll remember that we were taught the first occurrence of a word is it's important. It usually sets a lot of what the meaning of that word is and how it occurs in the context it occurs in. If you go to Genesis chapter 6, now we're talking about the heart. We saw the heart was described as good traits and bad traits. Genesis 6, verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Isn't that a sad testimony? The first occurrence of a word. And the first occurrence of the word of that word, it reflects the wickedness of man, his evil thoughts. And it's not only talking about his evil thoughts in the Hebrew, that means his purposes and his desires of the heart. "So evil that God destroyed mankind from the face of the earth, all but Noah and his family." Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. "For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." Part of the verse says. Okay? From his youth. In other words, he comes from the factory that way. That's the testimony of the Word of God. The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. This is a result in our day and time of being born spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. Now, if the Word of God is true, then even the best person falls into this category at some level. See? This category of the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. I'm talking about before you're born again. Now, is it any wonder that the Scripture encourages us in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. See, that's why we have to protect our heart. Because before we get born again, the best that there is evil imaginations from his youth. That's the best. The Word of God declares that. This is a spiritual truth. Look at Romans chapter 3. And sometimes people have a hard time accepting that. Because you may look at a person and say, oh, they're wonderful, or they're this, or they're a nice person. But see, that's a declaration of the Word. That's a testimony of the Word. Romans 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, before you come to Christ, if you're the nicest person in the world, do you still fit into Romans 3:23? Are you still a sinner and have you come short of the glory of God? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even the best. So sense knowledge-wise, you could be deceived. You can look at a person and they can look wonderful. Talk about normal people now, not natural people, not born again. And yet, the Word of God says that they are sinners, they have sinned, and they have come short of the glory of God. Why? Because they were born that way. It's not that they're, you know, it's just that they were born with that nature. They were born with that sin nature. They were born with that heart that is prone to sin. See, Adam wasn't like that. But everybody after Adam was born like that. Now you're born with that malady. You're born with that deformity. You're born with that opportunity. Now you can go through life with it, or you can come to God and it can get changed. Ephesians chapter 2, another spiritual truth. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. People, before you got born again, the testimony of the Word is that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, you didn't look dead in trespasses and sins, some of us. Some of us were nice, some of us dressed pretty, some of us to look at them. But the spiritual truth is that you were dead in trespasses and sin. Again, you can't get deceived by the senses. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The only way you could walk in time past before you got born again was according to the course of this world. And the scripture goes further and says, according to the prince of the power of the air. That was your only choice. That's God's testimony of how natural men and women walk. Myself included, everybody in this room included. Some more, some less, but it was all according to the course of this world, and the adversary was the one who set those courses. That's a spiritual truth. Just as much as it's a spiritual truth that man is prone to think evil imaginations in his heart from his youth. You understand? You can't pick one verse and say, no, that doesn't apply to... Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Verse 3. Among whom also we all, A-L-L, see it? We all had our conversations. We all had our manners of life. We all had our habits of living in times past. And what did we engage in? What did we indulge in? In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. You see it? It says you were by nature. Right? That's how you were born. That's how I was born. It was natural for us to want to fulfill the desires of our flesh. It was natural for us to want to live in the lust of our flesh. It is natural for us to have evil imaginations of the heart from our youth. That was our nature. That's some of the things that we needed to be saved from. That's some of the things that Jesus Christ came to give us a new nature, because our old nature stunk. See? You being in denial, unbelievers I'm talking about, you being in denial, someone who's not born again, maybe that's a nicer way to say it, hasn't come to Christ yet, doesn't change the truth of the word. You're still, by nature, what the scriptures say. What happens with man is man likes to cloak his nature and make things look good. This is really at the root of politics. Because without God, without the things of God, the political system can't do anything for our country. Because by nature, they're going to fulfill the lust of their flesh and of their minds. By nature, they're children of wrath. You understand? By nature, they're dead in trespasses and sin, spiritually. That's why if you look at some of this political rhetoric going on, and you go to the scriptures and you read the scriptures, it's 180 degrees from what the scriptures teach. You know, somebody steals something, the Bible says you were to return it, and then you were to add 20% to it. And then you were to make an offering for the sin, this sort of thing. Today, if somebody steals something, they get away with it. It's just all backwards. The next generation and the generation after us and the generation after them, we must sound like Martians to some of these kids. And we're not that old. That means you too, Cratchit. But what has happened is the stuff that they're being taught is just so bizarre, and it has no biblical footing. If you stay on the word and you just speak the word, you blow those people right out of the water. That's why they have to get rid of the word. Understand? Because if they can get rid of the word, or if they can disgrace the word, or if they can teach the community to be hostile towards God, then they have free rein to do whatever they want. There's no restraints on them. That's why when we speak the word, we sound like Martians to some of these people. Where did you ever come up with that idea? Or that's not fair, or that's not nice. You know, I did what's called an enhanced inspection. And it's a special inspection that only certain people are qualified to do. I'm the only one in town that has the license to do it. So a lot of people come to me to get this inspection done. Do you know, on the form from Harrisburg, you know what it says on the first line? It says on the first line, your name. Then the next part of the form says driver's license number. And then you know what it says? If you don't have a driver's license number, a PA identification card will work. In other words, you don't need a driver's license to come get this enhanced inspection and get it filled out. All you need is, if you don't have the driver's license, you ever see an identification card? Looks like a driver's license, right? So you got one? But it says on it, identification, right? So all I need to do is take that, just so you're identified as a person, and I can fill this form out, and you can get this enhanced inspection. What kind of logic is that? So the guy came up to me, and I said, you got a driver's license. This is a true story. No. Now I know the law, right? So I said, okay, do you have a PA identification card. No? And he's driving a Denali, right? A newer one? And so I said, well, who's going to be on the application? My uncle, right? So I said, does he have a driver's license? No. I said, does he have a Yes. I said, call him up. He came over. He shows me his card. That's what they require from me. So you know what? My tail's covered. So I fill out the thing. I take a picture of the front of it. I take a copy of the back of it. I put it in my file. I say, goodbye, uncle. He said, goodbye. And he left. How many times they hit somebody? Not they. People hit somebody. No driver's license. You know what the cop does? Writes the information down, gets in the car and leaves. Now, you think I'm nuts and you think I'm lying, but that's the truth. In Norristown, anyway. They get in the car and leave just to go hit somebody else. Instead of calling the truck, having a car impounded, no license, okay? Insurance, same way. License and insurance, I don't have it on me. Okay, write up a thing. You got 15 days to come down to the station and produce it, or you weren't going to give you a ticket. You're getting three accidents later on. Guy next to me sold a car yesterday, 2 days ago, $3,800. Gave him the money. He said, okay, now I need to see your driver's license so we can go to notary so I can take the title out of my name. No driver's license. I gave you the money, you give me the car. That's the way it works. That's what he said. He said, the car's in my name. He said, you ain't taking this car up the slide in my name. He said, you got to have a driver's license. He goes, no driver's license. I gave you the money, you give me the car. That's the way it works. He said, that may be the way it works in your country. He said, that's not the way it works in here. He said, when you get in an accident, car's in my name. No driver's license. I give you the money. And that's what our politics, that's what our laws have done. Democrat, Republic, raccoon, it don't matter. They're all the same. That's what they do. And so you and I have to pay for that. I don't know if you understand that, but that's part of your insurance bill. That's why your insurance is so high. That's why you got something on your insurance policy called uninsured, underinsured. Uninsured is for all those bozos out there driving that don't have insurance and hit you. You got to pay for it because they don't have it, so you got to have it, your coverage. And underinsured is for all those bozos that meet the $5,000 minimum limit on Pennsylvania. That's all they require. It's you can pay $5,000 the insurance company. So if you get in an accident, somebody hits your car, you got a new car, somebody hits her car, and it's $8,000 worth of damage. You know what they're in? She gets rear-ended, so it's the other guy's fault. You know what the insurance company does? The insurance company, by law of Pennsylvania, has a ceiling to pay 5 G's. That's it. That's what you get. Then the uninsured motorist part of your policy comes and picks up the other $3,000. Then your insurance company is going to go after bozo who hits you that doesn't have anything, that doesn't have whatever or anything else. So where does all of that money have to come from to compensate the insurance companies? You think they're going to say, oh, we'll be nice people and just help you. Comes from us. Comes from us, the people who can pay. Same with health insurance. You understand? I was talking to an administrator. We were talking about these kind of things. He says, we actually make money off of people who have babies that don't have insurance. I said, what? He says, oh, yeah, they come in, they don't have insurance, we deliver the baby, we do all this thing, and then we go to a fund that the insurance, everybody else that has insurance, they take the money out of that and they put it into this fund, and the hospital gets reimbursed. He says, we actually make money when we do a baby that doesn't have any, a person doesn't have any insurance. Now, these are the kind of plans and formulas that they come up with. Right? He mentioned the word, but I forgot the word, but I understood what he was saying. That's what happens when you're outside of God. That's the thoughts and the imaginations of man's heart. These people in Washington, these people that make policies and doctrines, that's what they come up with. They come up with this kind of stuff. Well, Genesis said, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. The word evil means bad, hurtful, it means unkind, okay? It means wrong, wicked, it means grievous. These are the different usages that Strong ascribes to this word. Look at Matthew chapter 15. You know, I got a guy, he's a friend, two of them. They're constables in this area. Okay? They tell me, they go and serve tickets, they go do that, that's their job. But what happens is, when they get served for traffic violation or for no license, and they get served and they go to court, they're going to go to court now, right? This is what he tells me. He says, the judges won't hear the cases. Hey, like that. The judges won't hear the cases. The judges get a whole bunch of these things. They come before them. They just dismiss it. They don't want to hear it.
So they get away with it.
So what they tell me is it's for us, for the cop, to write the thing. Because I was talking to him about some of this stuff. I said, why don't they? He said, because this is why. He says, because the cop writes it. They don't pay it. A bench warrant is issued. I get the ticket. I get paid to issue the bench warrant, but the judges won't take the cases. Because there's so many of them, and you can't do nothing, and there's no whatever, whatever. They just... So the cops know that. So you know what the cop does? Nothing. Because if the chain of command is weak, and you come to so-and-so and so-and-so, and you're not going to stand behind this, you know this in school, right? The teachers. You go to your principal. Kid's acting up in the class. Where is the kid 10 minutes after you send him to the office? Back into class. What's he doing? Acting up. Why? Because the principal doesn't stand behind the teacher. This is what happens. And so, after a while, what's the teacher going to say in their mind? I'm going to send him down there, and this guy's going to be, what, back here in 10 minutes. Makes the teacher look like a fool. Know what else happens? When the child sees that, the child registers that, because they're smart, you know. So you know what they're teaching the child? I can get away with this. I'll go down there, and I'll sit there for a minute, and she'll say, what are you doing here? I go back to class. That's all that's going to happen. That didn't happen in our day, did it? My eyes just lighted on someone I thought would be a little disruptive in school. It wasn't Revelation either. We got whopped, didn't we?
Yeah.
But that's what happens. There's just no continuity of doctrine, reproof, and correction. It's whatever. It's because of the heart. Because somebody in Harrisburg or somebody in Washington or somebody in Sumburg sits there and thinks up these things and says, this is the way it should be. And it's wrong. It's just wrong. Matthew 15, verse 18 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the what? They're the things that defile man. If you read it, they were talking about eating something, and they said, that's not what makes it bad. It's what comes out of your mouth. But those things that come out of the mouth, that's not it. It's deeper. It proceeds from where? The heart. Now look at it. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. This is what comes from people's hearts. This is Jesus speaking. He's smart. He knows what's there. He says, these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands doesn't defile a man. You see, religion concerns itself with the outward manifestation and appearance of man. They were concerned about eating this and doing this proper and washing their hands. That's all external. You understand? But what Jesus was saying, that's not it. That's what they think, and the they is the religious people at the time. And religious people and religion will always try to change behavior by instituting rules and regulations. Because they're dealing with the external. They're dealing with the manifestations. You see, if the person's heart is wrong, okay, which everybody's person's heart is born wrong. We saw that, okay? But if a person's heart is wrong, it will contaminate the life and character of the individual. Because out of the heart proceeds the issues of life. So if this is wrong in here, how you're going to act out here is going to be affected to some degree. Religion can only produce what I call tolerable recovery. Rules and regulations that you apply to yourself to try to be whatever will only allow you to tolerate yourself. It'll only allow you an increment, a little bit of freedom, of change. And rules and regulations, and a person who gets involved in this has great job security. You know why? Because you'll never stop trying to be better. Never. Job security. Great job security. I told you when we were up in the mountains and we saw the wolves and we saw the alpha and the beta wolf. Then I told you, remember I told you about the alpha wolf? Did I tell you that story? Well, we're up there and we're looking at the wolf pack in Penn's Cave. We're on the safari. And the lady's out there and she's like, come on. Like, and the wolf is like, look at her. Yeah, right. You. And the wolf was like 25 feet off. And you could just see him like, they want to kill you. If you ever looked into a wolf's eyes, it's sobering. There's four of them up there. And she was all excited. Oh, look, all the four wolves are up there, isn't it? And she's trying to get these wolves. And she's calling them, right? And they're just like... She says, that's so-and-so. He's the alpha. Wherever he goes, everybody else goes, and everybody comes under him. And that's so-and-so. He's the beta. Wherever he comes, he's next to the alpha. She says, but there's an alpha-alpha. And everybody said, well, who's that? And he says, well, that's, I forget the guy's name, Pete over there. Say, Pete. And he just happened to be there. So she says, come here, Pete. Can you get these guys over here? So Pete comes over, and he does something like, right to the fence. All four. They're wagging their tails and stuff, and they're happy. Oh, how you doing? He said, that's Pete. Pete bottle-fed every one of these wolves from a pup. Pete is what we call the alpha-alpha. They're the only ones that the alpha listens to. And then she made that statement, that's good job security, because he's the only one. I'm telling you, them things came just like that. And they were happy to see Pete. They knew who Pete was. It's just the same thing when you start working with rules and regulations. It's job security. You just keep at it. Keep at it because you need it. You need it. You need it. All the time. But it will never work. Because the Bible instructs us to reckon the old man what? Dead. Dead. It doesn't say to reform him, to retrain him, to rehabilitate him, to reinvent him, or to recover him. It says to reckon him what? Yeah. Dead. But if you get into this mindset, I'm going to fix the old man. It's job security. And the devil has just directed you for a lifetime of disappointment. Because the Bible says he can't be fixed. You understand? When we come across cars sometimes, they're called complete totals. A complete total is something that's in a fire, then hit by a train, and then a crane drops a big 7,000-ton thing on it. And when you look at it, it looks like this piece of paper. That's a complete total. No right person in their right mind in a body shop would look at that and say, oh, I can fix that. Now, if you're a thief and the serial number is still intact, you can look at it and say, I could fix that. Meaning that you're going to take that serial number and put it on a stolen car. Anyway, that's the old man. You got to reckon him dead. If you're born dead in trespasses and sin, and if you're born where the imagination of your heart is evil only from your youth, what's the answer? You see? That's the question. A lot of people try to fix the old man. A lot of people try to work on the person. Now, there is a place for working on the person, and there is a place for obedience, and there is a place for decisions and all these other things. But it's not with the end result to fix the old man. And Christianity gets tied up in that, and that's where people get in trouble. They try to fix something that God said is dead. And he encourages us to reckon it dead, leave it dead. When you go home tonight and you see a dead skunk in the middle of the road stinking to high heaven, remember that song? Are you going to go pick its tail up and try to fix it? It's what? Dead. You leave it alone. Man must receive a new heart, not a physical heart, but a spiritual heart, a gift from God, so that man may once again choose to receive God's will for his life, and then he can walk accordingly. This new heart will once again enable man to fellowship with the Father. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36. Is the heart, listen carefully, is the heart of man before a person is born again considered part of the old man?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the Bible says to reckon the old man what? To reckon the old man dead. So if you're going to reckon the old man dead, you got to reckon that portion of the old man dead also. That portion where the seat of your emotional, your spiritual, your physical, everything comes out of. You understand? Now, if that is going to be reckoned dead, God has to give you something to replace it. Because you're not, he tells us, reckon it dead. And if we continue to go there, we're going to break God's word. So God has to not only tell us what to do, but he has to give us something to replace that which we're supposed to reckon dead. Or we be up the creek without a paddle, right? Sure, it's right. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and what? Now I know the context of this verse and who he's talking to and the administration that it applies in. I understand that. But what I also know is that it speaks of a new heart, and it speaks of a new heart with regards to the spirit that's going to be placed in these people, the Holy Spirit of God. And it is that spirit that is going to enable them to keep his statutes and help them walk. A new heart comes with the Spirit of God. It comes with the Spirit of God. Look at John 14. The English Standard Version of John 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, one to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Look at verse 26. But the helper, I think it's Comforter in King James, isn't it? The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said unto you. Now, that was his disciples. But all things that Jesus said that we have are recorded where? in the Word. Now, I'm talking about us. All things that Jesus said that we have are recorded where? In the Bible. So this Spirit, once we go to the Bible and we read the Bible, this Spirit is also able to bring to our remembrance those things which He said that we know out of the Word. You understand? Plus things that He didn't even say that we know out of the Word. Things that God said that we know out of the Word. You've been there. You've done it. God's directed your heart and your mind when you're talking to somebody to Deuteronomy. Obey, you know, or if you don't do this, that's the Spirit of God working in you. Now go to 1 Peter, please, verse 3. We're talking about a heart. And just like the old heart was part of the old man, and God said to reckon the old man dead, okay, then it stands to reason that the new heart has to also be attached to a man. It has to be attached to the new man. Because he has to replace something. 1 Peter 3, look at verse 4, the beginning of it. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not what?
Corruptible.
It's not corruptible. We are born of what kind of seed?
Incorruptible
seed. But I want you to see here that the heart here is referred to as a what? Hidden man. It's the hidden man of the heart. Now go to Romans chapter 7. It's referred to as a man, hidden man of the heart. This is the outward man. This is what you see, you understand? But the Bible says it is the hidden man of the heart. Romans 7, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the what?
Inward
man. This is the what? Outward man. You can see this. But the Bible says there's such a thing called a what? An inward man. It's an inward man. It's something that you can't necessarily see with your eyes, with your senses. This you can see. But there's an inward man. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So again, you see that there's an outward man, and that there's a what? An inward man. And in Peter, it's called the inner man of the heart, the hidden man of the heart. Look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the what?
Inner
man. Inner man. Now, this inner man can be strengthened by the Spirit of God. That's what it says, right? The outward man can be strengthened too. How's the outward man strengthened? Cheeseburgers. No, right? But they're the inward. You can feed the outward man something. Right? They can be strengthened. But the Bible also says that you could feed this inward man something, that it can be strengthened. The inner man is the hidden man. Look at Colossians chapter 1. His Spirit in the inner man. It's called the inward man. It's called the inner man. It's called the hidden man. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is who?
Christ
in you, the what?
The glory.
The Son of Man. Who do they say the Son of Man is? The Son of Man. It's Christ in you. Christ in you. You understand? Christ in you is the inner man. Christ in you is the inward man. Christ in you comes with the Spirit of God. And Christ in you comes with a new heart. See? See, because we can't use our old thoughts and our old logic and our old heart to go through this life, because our old heart is corrupt. It only thinks evil from our youth. So God can't say, reckon the old man dead. Well, God, if I do that, my old heart's in that old man. What, how am I going to think? How am I going to live? How am I going to... He can't do that without saying, don't worry about it. I'm going to give you the 10.0 model, which is Christ in you. And when you get to Christ in you, the inward man, you get a new what? You get a new heart. Good heart, right? Heart of Jesus Christ. And the potential and everything that you need to succeed is there. Everything you need to succeed is there. Look at 2 Corinthians. Verse 5. I'm sorry. Chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new what?
Creature.
Creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things that are available become new. And old things that can be passed away are passed away. But he's a new what? He's a new creature. Now watch this. I'm going to show you something. Watch the words. Galatians 6. Verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new what? See, because circumcision is what? Works of the flesh. Outward man stuff, right? If you're a guy, it's an outward man stuff. Right? It's not inward stuff. Look at Ephesians 2. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making what? It's a new man. It's a new creature. It's no Jew, Gentiles, no distinction. It's one new man. It's a new man. Verse, chapter 4, verse 24. Ephesians 4, 24. And seeing that you put on the what? Amen. New man, which is what? Now watch it. Which after God is what?
Created.
See the word created? It means created. It's created. God creates in you a new creature. You understand? Each and every one of us have our own individual spirit. It's created in us. It's created in us. It's new to us. God creates it for us. It's new. Where was I? Huh. Ephesians? Yes. And it's created in righteousness and true holiness. The old heart, it's not created in that, right? It's made in what? Not good. Dead in trespasses and sin. Short of the glory of God. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. See? We're supposed to reckon the old man dead. Okay? But if we don't, we can still give heed to the old man. God said there's nothing that we can do to fix the old man, the old nature. He says it's lost, it's gone, it's total. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a new man. I'm going to give you a new nature. Now spend your time listening to the new nature. Spend your time finding out who you are in the new nature. Spend your time walking in the new nature and don't pay no mind to the old nature. Problem is, Some of us have an old nature for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. You know, old habits are hard to break sometimes, right? That's why we have to put off the old man. Look, if you come to me and you're the old man, I said, look, there's nothing I can do to help you. The only thing that could happen of this relationship is that you're going to hurt me. Because God said, I got to reckon you dead. So you got to go. But our nature, you know, well, let me help you. You're my friend. You're my old man. Let me help you. Maybe we can talk this out. Maybe we... There's nothing you can do. God knows. You got to reckon it dead, and you got to work on understanding the new man, the inner man, the hidden man of the heart. He's inside. What you see out here is the old man. But what you see out here will become a manifestation of the inner man as you put him on. That's the key. To put him on, so it's okay. To put him on so that you can see him in manifestation. The hidden man of the heart is Christ in you. He's referred to as the new man, the inner man, the new creation, the inward man, so forth. Once a man is born again, he receives a new nature. He receives a new heart. Now, this man can choose to walk by the Spirit, or he can choose to walk by his senses. This man receives a new life, because he's supposed to reckon the old man dead. He receives a new life. Something has to replace that which is dead. Look at Romans 6. That's where we make mistakes with children. We see a kid playing with something. We don't give him the doctrine, reproof, and correction. We see him playing with the horn, and we say, don't play with that, and we take it away from him. But seldom do we come along and say, here, you can play with this. But God's not like us. God knows that if he's going to take this away from us, we need this. So he's got to put something in its place that will replace it. So this is what he does. He takes the old man, reckon it dead, he says, and he says, here, this will work much better for the purposes that I designed you to live life with. If you had a bulldozer, if you had a backhoe, and you got to dig a big hole, and it says, God hoe on the side of the machine. Right? And he gives it to you, and he gives you instructions on how to use it. Why in the world would you want to go back and grab a shovel and try to dig with the shovel when God's given you this? But that's what we do when we refuse to look at who we are in Christ and what he has given us, and we try to do it our way. Because the thoughts and imaginations of our heart are evil from our youth. So we think we got a better way to do it than God. And we don't use the God hoe, we use a shovel. I said that he gives us a new life. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. It's a new life. You can't fix the old life. You can't fix what you did in your past. You can't fix what you did yesterday. You understand? It's a new life. That doesn't give you the right to go about doing whatever you want and saying it's a new life. That's abusing grace, right? But what it gives you the right to do is it's a new life. I need to walk in newness of life. Don't walk in the oldness of the law. Don't walk in the oldness of your senses. Don't walk in the oldness of the man that you're supposed to reckon dead. Romans 8 verse 4 says, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, Neither indeed can be. Can't do it. It's not in its nature because it's an old nature. You see? You can't get orange juice out of apples. You can't do it. It's not in its nature. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And that's closing Galatians chapter 5. So you see, God has equipped us. God has given us everything that we need so that we can live this life and live it victoriously. But if we're going to live this life and live it victoriously, we have to walk after the new nature. We have to live in the new nature. We have to understand what He gave us. We have to understand how to use it, how to apply it. And we also have to understand that the old man is going to nag at you. He's going to nag at you. And you're just going to have to fight the old man. And everybody's got an old man to contend with. I do, and so do you. But we have to recognize when the old man's creeping up on us. And when we just have to reckon it dead. And when we move ahead with the things of God. In Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See it? I mean, really, do you see it? If you see it, you won't be working on the old man. Because the answer to fixing the old man is right there. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now listen. Look what God did. Pay attention just for a minute. You got all these bad things going on with the old man, right? Let's say you got 10 bad habits in your life. Let's be gracious. He got 12 bad habits in his life. What's easier to do? Work on his 12 bad habits or walk in the Spirit? See, because if he walks in the Spirit, the Bible says he's going to take care of his 12 bad habits. Right? Now, I don't know about you. I get lost after 3 or 4. I can remember one, though. Right? So if I concentrate and pay attention and put my effort into walking in the Spirit, what God is telling us is that you do that and all this other stuff I'm going to take care of. Is that a good deal?
Yeah.
A good deal. That's a good deal. Now, he doesn't say, remember, doctor, you got them little X's, then you wake up in the morning, you got another sin, if you got to confess all your sins to get salvation, if it depends on confessing the sins to get salvation, what if you forget a sin? What was God's remedy? Just confess him as Lord, believe that God raised him from the dead, and it's better. In other words, do what he says, and don't worry about all that junk there. He wipes it out. Right? It's saying Galatians. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not. Don't say that. It says you what? Shall not. Shall is stronger. It's absolute. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's the answer to the problem. It's not fixing the old man. It's not working on the outside. It's not. See, if you just walk in the Spirit, you want to know what's going to happen? You're going to fix the problem with the old man. And you know what else is going to happen? See the outside? That's going to get all fixed too. Because what's going to happen? You got a new heart. For out of the heart proceedeth adulteries, this, that, and the other thing. See, man deals with, you did this crime, I'm putting you in jail. The guy gets out of jail, what's he do? He commits the same crime. You know why? Because it didn't fix the problem. The root is what? Wrong heart. As long as you got a wrong heart, I don't care how many jails you put him into. As soon as he gets out, he's still got the same heart, he's going to repeat the same crime. That's what happens with the old man. It doesn't matter how many times you want to try and fix. You still got the old man. You're working from the old man's heart. You're just destined to fail. God says it's not going to work. God's smart. He knows it's not going to work. So what did he do? He said, forget about it. Reckon it dead. Here's a new heart. Who's the new heart in? Christ. Where's Christ at? He's in you. He's the inner man. He's the hidden man. You understand? So if we pay more mind to that and live in light of that, all this other junk, you don't have to worry about it. It's a good deal. It's a win-win, either way you look at it. Right? And that takes a whole lot of work off of you, takes a whole load off of you, doesn't relieve you from the responsibility of living like a human, loving people, don't steal and all that stuff. You understand? There's works that go along with that. But it takes, you're doing that from a new heart. You're not doing that to get the new heart. You understand? You're living like that from a righteous state. You're not doing that to obtain a righteous state. You're doing that from your access and seated at the right hand of God. You're not doing that to get your access to be seated at the right hand of God. It's completely different. Is there works involved? Yes. But you're doing it from that position of victory, not from the position of trying to win the victory to get there. That's the key. And if you can get that and you can apply it, it'll help you in your life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word, for your love, and oh my goodness, for the new heart that you've given each and every one of us in Christ. Maybe we haven't taken full advantage of that new heart. Maybe we've ignored it at times. Maybe we superseded and just went our own way. Every one of us, like sheep, went our own way. But Father, thank you that we can come back, we can understand this, we can apply it in our lives, we can live accordingly, and we can be happy and blessed. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. And they all said good night to Miss Candy. Good night, Miss Candy. See you later, honey. God bless you. Bye-bye.